Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
God, who is an African-American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
There's a joke in my wife's family that because all the adults and the kids in her family had dark hair when they were little and growing up, and she was a little tow-headed blondie, that she must have been adopted. And I don't know how seriously she might have taken this joke when she was a little girl, but she talks about it an awful lot. And people tend to think of adoption as kind of the second option when someone is part of a family. Now, anyone who's adopted children will tell you different. Did you know that you have been adopted? Now, you may have been born of your natural parents and grown up with them, but if you are a Christian baptized into Jesus Christ, you are adopted. And that's good news. It's not second-class citizenship in the family of God. We're going to talk about adoption in scriptures. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest for the next hour of the program. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News is adoption. Pastor Rotman, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Good to see you.
How important in Scripture, in telling the story of salvation, is the theme of adoption?
Oh, I think adoption is extremely important, especially for telling the story of salvation in a situation where someone may not have heard the good news of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus prior to that conversation. And the reason I say this is because Paul tells us in Galatians, God sent forth his Son in order that he might redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So right off the bat in this conversation, I'd like to really emphasize the point that adoption is central to the way God is working salvation for us. Adoption is the purpose behind him sending his Son to this earth to live, to die, to rise again, so that we may receive the adoption as sons.
Why is adoption in that sense, that scriptural sense, even necessary? I mean, we hear all the time from within Christianity and without that God is the father of all mankind. We are all God's children. Why do we need to be adopted?
Well, the benefit of adoption is not from God's point of view, but from yours. How is it that you now can have personal assurance that you yourself belong to God, that he is your loving, careful father, guarding, protecting you in all things, and that he has an inheritance set aside especially for you. Maybe it's somewhat connected to what you were saying at the beginning of the show about your wife, that she frequently joked that she might have been adopted. I think you said you don't know how seriously she took it, but she frequently brings that up. If a child has been adopted into a family, there is an adoption certificate. There is evidence of this careful and premeditated act. So that child would never need to doubt or wonder whether they are part of that family. And this is really the importance for us in God's teaching concerning adoption. He knows He is our Father, but He wants us to know, to believe, and to live in the certainty that we are His dear children. And that is where this adoption teaching comes from.
Well, you can't go far. You gave us that one passage of St. Paul, adoption as sons. You can't go far into Scripture where the adoption language is at work or the imagery is at work without bumping into baptism. What does Scripture teach baptism is, and how is it key to understanding our adoption as sons through Jesus Christ?
Well, if you stick with that Galatians passage where God says that He sent His Son that we might receive adoption as sons. If you stick right with that passage and just back up a little bit, a few more verses, you immediately begin to see how God plans this adoption for you. Using that language of being a son again, He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And so here in this same section where God says adoption is how He makes you a son, He's also saying baptism is how He makes you a son. And so clearly there's a connection here between baptism and God's gift of adoption.
What does Scripture teach baptism is? In particular, a lot of Christians think of it as yes, certainly something commanded in Scripture, but it is a ritual that we perform, kind of an outward sign of our inward commitment. It's a commitment ceremony, in essence. Is that what Scripture teaches about baptism?
Well, many people do think of baptism as being something we do in response to God's command, but the Scriptures actually teach differently. Yes, mom and dad bring a child to the font. Yes, a pastor will pour water and speak God's living word over this child. But baptism is not essentially something we do, but it is something God is miraculously doing for us. To use this language of Galatians, God is, in baptism, adopting us to be His child. Now, in this issue of Good News that we've just produced on adoption, we've had an artist portray a baptism as an adoption, and he's truly done a marvelous job at this.
It's unbelievable.
It's a long picture. It's part of a folded out page. You have to unfold it to get the whole view. But the point of this is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are attending your baptism. They are there present at the baptism of your child. They are indeed performing this baptism, making this act of adoption. God the Father is depicted with His open hands, and from His open hands, God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is descending toward the baptismal font. And then from Jesus, a Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove is descending to the baptism, just as the Holy Spirit did at our Lord's baptism. There are also in this picture angels holding a white garment, a garment that depicts how your sins are washed away and you are being declared holy and a child of God. All of this is happening as a mother and a father stand next to a simple font and the pastor pours God's life-giving baptism out onto their infant child.
With only a minute here before we take our first break, Pastor Rotman, when someone is adopted, they're also named. Very often they'll retain the name that they had from their birth parents, but sometimes not so, especially with the smallest of infants. The new parents give a new name. So does God give us a name when He adopts us as sons through Jesus Christ into His family?
Oh, yes, He does. In fact, I'll frequently joke around with my youth confirmation class. What I'm teaching them about baptism, I tell them that God gives you His name so that your name is no longer Susie Q, but your name is Susie Q, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is, you have a family identity that is marked by God's name put upon you. Now, you don't need to, when you go to school, write on your tests and your homework, Susie Q, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this is now God making you his child and giving you his name so that you fully participate in everything that the Father has, everything that he does, and everything that he is going to be giving to you through your life.
Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. He's staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News Magazine is adoption, which really means it's about everything Scripture has to say about how God brings to us the full benefits of what Jesus Christ, the Son, has done in your place as your substitute. Think about it this way. The adoption really begins not so much when you first come on the scene. The adoption begins back in time when God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. It really begins with Jesus' incarnation into our flesh, where he bore our sins in his body all the way to the cross, the grave, and the resurrection. And now that Christ has risen and ascended, he now brings adoption as sons to each and every one of us through his word, the word that begins with that holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, this is why Jesus says in the last chapter of Matthew to his disciples, go make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Well, the teaching is what we're going to talk about next. Children listen to their parents. Adopted children listen to what their parents have to say. We, as those adopted through Jesus Christ, we need to hear our Father speaking, our brother Jesus Christ speaking. But where do we hear this? We'll find out on the other side of the break. We're talking about adoption in Scriptures. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
A
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Eric Rothman is our guest, staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News is adoption. That's our subject for this hour of Issues Etc. Pastor Rothman, I guess before we go on to talk about listening to our Father's voice, listening to the voice of our brother Jesus Christ as adopted children in the family of God, we really do need to say, and it's sad that we have to, but we need to say that we don't adopt God. He adopts us. So what do we make of all this verbiage that flies around in Christian circles of, I received Jesus as my Savior, or I decided for Jesus, or I gave Jesus my heart, the picture that seems to kind of put the impetus of the adoption on us rather than on God?
Well, I think the adoption teaching in God's Bible does a very good job of combating that sort of language or of putting everything into its proper perspective. On one of the pages in this current issue of Good News, we have a picture of a young boy approaching a father, and he's saying, I'm committing my life to you. I want to make you my father. I'm going to be your adopted son, and I will receive all of your inheritance. Now, just imagine for a minute how you would react if you're walking down the street someday, and a little child all of a sudden walks up to you and says, I'm going to make you my dad, and you're going to provide for me the rest of my life. You might step back just a little bit and say, hold on a second. That's not how adoption works. In an earthly adoption, the parent acts. The parent goes through the legality of the adoption. The parent makes the commitment to the child. The parent devotes the rest of his life to caring and providing for this child. And that's very much what God also does for us, which is why this adoption imagery is so wonderful. It's not that we as children would go rushing to our Heavenly Father and say, I'm committing my life to you. But rather, in baptism, God adopts us. He makes his commitment to us. He gives his promises to us. He sets aside many benefits for us. So a lot of this talk about what I have done for God or how I have committed myself to God, I think that this teaching concerning adoption that God has in his Bible very clearly turns that around and puts the focus on what God does instead of us.
Then let's talk about the second part of Christ's great command to his disciples and his church. He says, make disciples by baptizing. And we've talked a bit about the way that the disciples slash children are adopted into God's family through this divinely appointed means of baptism. But Jesus also says, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. What's he talking about there?
Well, you know, in baptism or in adoption, God gives us many gifts. Now, again, to use the analogy of an earthly parent adopting a child, what gifts does that earthly parent give to that child? Well, he gives the child his name. He gives the child a secure place to live. He lavishes love and attention on the child, and as his means permit, he promises the child a future inheritance. And these are just a few things that a earthly parent would give to his adopted child. And in the same way, the teaching aspect of baptism can be described as the learning about all of the benefits that God gives to you when he adopts you to be his child in baptism. And there are many. I mean, there are more benefits than we had room in a magazine to describe to people. So we sort of hit the high points, and you and I have already discussed one before the break, that God gives us his name and an identity. But this teaching them to observe all things has very much to do with learning about the gifts that God gives you when he baptizes you and adopts you.
Okay, where does that happen? How does that happen? I mean, I'm trying to see when Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, the picture immediately leaps into mind, of course, of where baptism takes place. There's a pastor usually who is going to be physically baptizing this child or this person. When he says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, what picture should spring into our mind? Where does this happen?
Well, take that picture of the pastor baptizing that child and move the zoom lens out just a little bit and see that that picture of that baptism is taking place in a church before the altar where God's Holy Communion is celebrated, near the pulpit where God's life-giving word is spoken to the people, in front of pews that are filled with fellow Christians who are here to listen and to receive the benefits of their adoption, as well as to witness yours and rejoice with you. My point is this: the teaching, all that I have commanded you, takes place in that same area where the adoption takes place, through the ongoing hearing of God's word, through personal study of the word, through the fellowship of the believers around you, through learning what Holy Communion is and participating in that. It's the same context.
So when we call Sunday morning, in our case, the divine service, church, the house of God, it really is our Father's house.
That question got broken up, Todd. I wonder if you could ask it again.
Well, when we talk about Sunday morning or the divine service or or church, when we call this the house of God, it really is our Father's house.
Oh yes, absolutely. So, you know, think about that story about Jesus when he was 12 years old and his mother and father were looking for him, and he was in the temple and he said, "Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business or in my Father's house?" That's exactly the sort of thing that we also can say when we go to church on a Sunday morning. We are coming to that place where our Heavenly Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit promise to be with us, promising to teach us.
It seems to me that if we are adopted into God's family, in some sense we're adopted out of something else. And I don't know if Scripture makes much of this, but is there some aspect of that, that being brought into God's family takes us out of a different situation?
Well, we have that passage that says, God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, the word adoption doesn't specifically get mentioned in that passage, but the idea is the same. When you are adopted by baptism into the family of God, you're no longer part of what Jesus called the children of the devil or the children of darkness or the world of unbelief. You are miraculously rescued, drawn up out of that by God's gift of adoption.
I guess then that puts me in mind of something Luther is said to have said, and that is, when we baptize a child, we make for him a terrible, terrible enemy and a very strong friend, but the enemy is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
What should we know then about our adoption and what it does, what kind of a relationship it forges between us and our enemy?
Well, that is very true, that our adoption by God does create enemies for us. If you wanted to think of it this way, the old parent, that is the parent of unbelief and sin, feels jealous that you have joined a new family. And so he will devote himself to ripping you out of that new family that God creates for you in baptism when he adopts you through baptism. Now, the good news is, one of the benefits you receive when you are adopted by God into his family is that you get an older brother named Jesus. Now, remember, as a little kid, I had an older brother. And when people would pick on me at the playground or after school, I knew that I had an older brother that could handle any one of those people. And I often fell back on that comforting assurance when I was going through these hard times. And this is very much what we Christians can also do as a benefit of our baptism. We can continually remember that Jesus, our older brother, is very, very protective of us. And he will guard us from the devil, from the world, and even from our own tendency toward unbelief. He'll protect us from those things.
Let's take a break here, Pastor Rotman. We'll pick up right there on the other side of the break. We're talking about adoption in Scripture. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. Staff writer for Good News magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News is adoption. We're kind of mining the Scriptures for everything that they give us in comforting words about our adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Stay tuned.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century, you're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making an online gift today, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's an advertising campaign going on in New York City to reach out to women and men who are hurting after abortion. It's called Abortion Changes You. This past month, ads have been placed where hundreds of thousands of New York City subway riders see them. They reach out to the mothers and fathers of aborted babies by telling them they're not alone in their grief, shame, and remorse. And it's working. Scores have gone to the advertised website and shared their personal stories of abortion's aftermath. Many said how alone they felt after the abortion. They were relieved to find someone who would listen and really cared. Some of the top key words expressed were ashamed, angry, and changed. Efforts like these are changing hearts and minds on abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest as we talk about adoption in the Scriptures. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, and staff writer for Good News Magazine. The latest issue of Good News Magazine has as its theme, and this is how Good News Magazine works all the time, it will adopt one theme, no pun intended, from Scripture and then mine it for all it's worth. And Good News Magazine does a great job of this. Their latest theme, of course, is adoption in Scripture. You can find out more about Good News Magazine or subscribe to it, 1-800-778-1132. It's their toll-free number, 1-800-778-1132, Good News Magazine. Pastor Rotman, before we went to the break, you were talking about the enemies that we have by virtue of our adoption into God's family and the big brother, Jesus, that we have, who is always there protecting us and really fully defeating these enemies for us. But you mentioned the internal struggle, the struggle with my own flesh. I don't often think or speak or act like a son of God, like an adopted child of God. How does Scripture address that dilemma?
Well, first of all, when you are adopted by God in baptism, you are, as that Galatians passage says that I read earlier, you are clothed in Christ. Now, this piece of art that we have at the beginning of this issue depicts this by a white robe descending from heaven and coming down to the child that is being baptized. And that is a way that every baptized child of God would do well to look in the mirror and realize about themselves. It's easy to feel inside all sorts of guilt, regret, pain, sorrow. It's equally easy for us to fall prey to greed, anger, self-righteousness, and all of these characteristics that would not seem to make us look like very much like children of God adopted in baptism. But this robe, this clothing in Christ that Paul talks about in Galatians, God puts this on you when he adopts you to be his child in baptism. And this robe covers your sin. It covers your regret. It covers anything about you that you feel God would be unhappy with, so that when God looks at you, his dear beloved child, there is no reason for him to be angry, no desire to punish or exercise wrath over you. You are his beloved child.
That makes me think about another passage where the whole theme of sons, perhaps even adoption as well, comes forward. And I think it's in one of Peter's epistles where he says, don't think it's strange when you suffer all kinds of trials and tribulations. This is God's discipline. God, in fact, is treating you just like sons. In fact, if he didn't discipline you, you would be illegitimate and no sons of God. So, all right, you just talked about this unbreakable connection between us and God through this adoption, and yet it sounds as though it doesn't mean that life's going to be a bed of roses for me.
Absolutely. So think again about this big brother Jesus who is standing by to defend you against all of your enemies and all who would try to assail you. That's one aspect of this adoption teaching, but we should not conclude from that when God adopts us to be his child, we therefore will never suffer any sort of struggle or hardship in this life. But you are exactly right that God is disciplining you as sons, is how it is written there in the Scriptures. And in fact, Hebrews even asks, what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? When we experience hardships as God's adopted children through baptism, these are used by God as a way of continually redirecting, turning our attention back toward him. They're used by God for our training so that we would not be disqualified from the prize, so to speak, as Paul would say.
It doesn't feel like that.
Not at all.
I mean, it feels like harsh. It doesn't feel like loving discipline sometimes. Sometimes it feels like harsh punishment.
It does. And sometimes God's people go through experiences where they inwardly feel that maybe God has completely forgotten about them or abandoned them or has become so angry at them that he no longer wants to be their father. This is when baptism that is God's act of adoption, gives great benefits to you. Because when we experience those kind of hardships and struggles, we can return to that baptism, remembering that this was not something I did for God. This was something God did for me. God promised me in baptism that I would be his child. Therefore, I will not doubt I am his child. God said that he would always care for me and protect me. Therefore, I will believe that even now in this hardship, God has not forgotten me, but he will fulfill his promises to me. It's the adoption act which holds us up like a buoy through the struggles we experience in this life.
Is the discipline that God rightly gives to us in this life, sometimes from our perspective it seems to be hardships, and I'm given to believe as well from wise teachers that even the things that we consider to be kind of the good things in life, God can use them also to discipline us as well. But what does this discipline, this fatherly discipline, have to do with what Scripture talks about when it says that we as sons are being conformed to the image, the perfect image of his son, Jesus Christ? What does that conforming mean?
Well, it is the learning of the power of God's word in your life. When you experience, like on the track field or in football, this pain of hard work and exercise and of practice over and over again, it may seem difficult during the time. But later on, during the competition, all of that hard work pays off, and you are much more able to perform in your sport. And that's similar to what God is doing through this act of discipline. When he is allowing you to experience these hardships, he is continually stripping away any weakness that you would be tempted to trust in, and he is replacing that with God's Son, God's living Word, where you find your true hope and strength.
So I'm not going to impress my Heavenly Father with any self-made righteousness.
No, not at all. And the wonderful thing is you don't even need to try, because when God adopts you to be his child, he gives you full and complete a righteousness that you never even had to dream up or think about, but one that was first Christ's and now is yours.
So we're talking now, we're getting into the territory of the inheritance that is, it sounds like we're not waiting for this inheritance, is already in some sense ours as adopted children of God.
Absolutely. There are many benefits we receive in this life as children of God. Some of them are somewhat seemingly harsh, like the benefit of having a loving father who disciplines us. Some of them are more joyous, the benefit of knowing that because you are God's sons, for example, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. So when God adopts you to be his child in baptism, you begin receiving here and now some of the gifts of that adoption. But there are even more gifts waiting for you in the future of eternity.
We'll talk about that on the other side of the break, where the apostle says, we have an inheritance, imperishable, incorruptible, kept for you in heaven. I remember reading this as a child thinking, what in the world does God have waiting for me in heaven, this great inheritance? Well, at the very least, as we'll find out on the other side of this break, it begins with the resurrection. You see, everything for the newly adopted sons of God, be they male or female, everything for the newly adopted sons of God must go the way that it went for the Son of God. Here we live under the cross because, of course, Christ, the Son of God, endured the cross on our behalf. We live in that shadow of the cross. and by faith and not yet fully by sight. But of course, Christ endured the cross, death, and rose from the dead. So, as Scripture so clearly teaches, if the Son has risen, then all these adopted sons and daughters in Jesus Christ must also rise too. And yet, it says, even after that great resurrection, there's more to come. We'll talk about our heavenly inheritance as children of God after this.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Pastor Eric Rotman talking about adoption in the Scriptures. God's adoption of us as His sons through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking here about the inheritance that is waiting for us, the one that we are already receiving here in part, but then later in full. It begins with the down payment, which Scripture says is the Holy Spirit. And then comes the resurrection. And then we're given to believe so much more. What more could there be? Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Pastor Rotman, you said starts with the down payment, the guarantee, which is the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit given in baptism with us through our entire lives. The Holy Spirit's work in this life, so to speak, is completed when we are raised from the dead at Christ's return. And then what awaits us by way of inheritance?
Well, that's a really a good question. The inheritance that awaits us truly defies every human imagination. We have descriptions of the sort of inheritance gifts that we will receive, but when the Bible speaks about these things, it usually speaks about what it won't be. Our lives in this world are so corrupted, so filled with sin and misery and death and decay, that it's completely beyond our ability to picture in our minds what perfection is going to be. So when the Bible is explaining to us what God has for us, it usually speaks about what it's not going to be. For example, Peter says in his letter, that we will obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and it will not fade away. Now, there is nothing in this earth anywhere that we can find that is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. So the adoption gifts God has for us in heaven, they're so wonderful, so great, that they go beyond even our ability to express. Or if you think about what heaven is described as in the book of Revelation, our inheritance is going to include a time, an eternity, in which there will be no more crying or mourning or pain, because this old order of things in which we now live will pass away.
Okay, I can't imagine that. I mean, you said it's beyond imagination, but I cannot picture. Everything has an end. Everything runs out. If I get an inheritance from my father when he passes away, whatever it may be, as large as it may be, let's say my dad's Warren Buffett, and he leaves me, not that Warren Buffett's leaving his kids much, but he leaves me his vast fortune. Sooner or later, I'm going to be able to spend that fortune down. It will fade away. I can't imagine sinless, painless eternity with an inheritance that just continues to accrue and never fades away.
But that is exactly what the scriptures teach us, and you are right. It goes beyond our ability to wrap our minds about it. The inheritance that a Warren Buffett would leave for his children, were he to leave one, is nothing compared to the precious gift of eternal life that God has given to you through your adoption at baptism, when he made you his child. Now, one thing that struck me when you said everything comes to an end, well, in this life you are absolutely right, but this is something that I would like all of our hearers to grasp and to think about, and that is God's adoption, God's making you his child in baptism, has no end. If you are a son, you have a place in the Father's house forever. This adoption that begins in a little bowl of water, and is speaking of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's name, this adoption that looks so plain and ordinary when you see it happen in a church, will never come to a conclusion. But it is your identity, your gift, your family forever.
So when we hear Scripture talk about this inheritance that is ours, a new heaven, a new earth that is being kept for us in heaven, you said before we have the Holy Spirit, we have the hope of the resurrection. Here in this life, is this inheritance really, truly ours already?
It is yours from the moment God adopts you. It is, and Jesus says this very thing when he says, "He who lives and believes in me will never die." Those who were adopted by God to be his children right now have the gift of eternal life, which is why so much of our hymnody, for example, describes death as a mere going to sleep or a mere passage or a waiting. Death is no longer death because God adopts you to be his child. Death simply becomes a transition from the eternal life you now have to that eternal life fully revealed for you in heaven.
Okay, then it makes me think about these famous words of Jesus that are often spoken in comfort to a family who's mourning the death of a loved one who's died in Christ. In my Father's house, here's Jesus speaking, mm-hmm, are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not say that I'm coming back again. And when I come back, I will take you to where I am so that where I am, you might be also. And there's this picture of going home finally.
Yes,
to the Father's house where a room's made up for me.
You are absolutely right. And in that room, there is the promise of comfort, security, provision for eternity. The same sort of joy and solace and comfort that a child would have in his or her own bedroom at home is the same comfort and joy that God promises to you when he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. It's simply much greater, far beyond our ability to imagine and comprehend.
The comfort of having a father like the one I have, I'm talking here about my earthly father, mm-hmm. is that within his means, there's nothing he would withhold from me if I were truly in need. And in that sense, in his generosity toward me in here in this life, he says to me, in essence, everything I have is yours. He's still my father. I'm still the son. But everything that is his is mine. Is that true when God adopts us into his family?
It is more than true. And Jesus even uses this analogy when he says, just think about how earthly fathers are devoted to their children. Which father among you, if your child asks for a fish, who would give him a snake? How much more is the Heavenly Father devoted to giving all of his glory, his belongings, his love to you? We human fathers do this, and we are still fraught with sin and selfishness. How much more does the Heavenly Father treat you as a child in a pure, sinless, holy way?
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds, bottom line, what is the comfort that we have when God has adopted us through his son, Jesus Christ? 30 seconds.
The comfort is this. You are part of a family. You have a loving Heavenly Father. You have a devoted older brother. You have an indwelling Holy Spirit. And this family is very protective of you, their beloved child and brother. And nothing in heaven and earth will separate you from that love that God gave you in his adoption.
Pastor Eric Rotman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News is adoption. You can receive the latest issue of Good News Magazine simply by calling toll-free 1-800-778-1132, 1-800-778-1132. It's Good News Magazine. Pastor Rotman, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
There is such comfort here in this life, even in the midst of this life's troubles and trials, having Satan and all of his minions as a sworn enemy, disciplined properly by our Heavenly Father. The Christian life is no bed of roses. That's absolutely for sure. Not in this life. But everything everything God has given through his son, Jesus Christ, is truly yours. He has adopted you into his family through his son, Jesus. The seal of that adoption is Christ's own blood shed for you at the cross, God's own Holy Spirit given to you now and forever, your resurrection from the dead, and the inheritance beyond imagination, all ours, all yours, in Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.